Dear congregation, in the Heidelberg Catechism, after discovering our misery in Lord's Days 2, 3, and 4, we turn today to the second part that is entitled Of Man's Deliverance, and that will take us through Lord's Days 5 through 31. And deliverance means liberation, to be set free or to be redeemed, to be reinstated into a former condition of favor. And the part of deliverance begins with this question. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? And just by way of introduction this morning, I want to see what is that question doing? First of all, it's confessing and acknowledging God's righteous judgment upon us. It says we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Now, why do you and I deserve temporal and eternal punishment? What have we done to deserve this? Well, God's law demands of us perfect love for God and perfect love for our neighbor. So the question, if we want to try to answer why do we deserve this punishment, is do you and have you always and will you always love God with your whole being? Is everything you think and say and do motivated always for 100% by the love of God? Do you love God perfectly? And do you love your neighbor perfectly? Has there even been one moment of your life that you did not love God 100%? If there is, then you have transgressed God's holy, perfect law, and He must punish you. And since God is an infinite God, His punishment must be infinite too. God's justice requires that sin that is committed against the most high majesty of God be punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul, and that means an eternity of hellfire. So this introductory question to the second part says, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment? And we ask that question when we realize the truth of our radical depravity, and when we're faced with the reality and the truth of our desperate condition, and we're looking for escape when we face the reality of God's just punishment. And just like in natural life, we want to flee to escape danger. Just this past week in Colhurst, Alberta, where our daughter lives, there was a huge grass fire coming straight for that town, and the whole town had to be evacuated. And those people hopped in their cars and looked for the quickest way out of town to escape what was coming. Is there a way to escape God's just punishment? That's the great need that's expressed here. And to be again received into favor with God? Is there no way that I can again be restored into favor to become acceptable to God once again? To be received back into His communion. It's a question of a soul that's longing to be in favor with God again, as it was at creation. A soul that recognizes the huge distance between God and me. A soul that's crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This question is the language of faith, of a living faith, of a person who knows something of himself and believes what the Bible says. Yes, I once walked in communion with God. Yes, I once lived in the favor of God. Yes, I once loved God perfectly in paradise. But now, it's just the opposite. Have you learned this by your bitter Christian experience? See, the natural man seeks the favor of people. We all want people to be impressed with us. Children want to be in their friends' favor. Teenagers want their peers' favor. Adults want to be in the favor of other people in the church or in society. But who asks, how can I again be received into favor with God? It's a person who realizes he has fallen out of favor with God. It's a question of desperation, of a person who has tried and struggled to love God and to love my neighbor and finds out that instead of love to God, there is enmity against God in here. And finding out that instead of loving my neighbor, there is selfishness and self-centeredness. And who knows from Scripture that even one moment of selfishness deserves extreme punishment. Because that one moment violates God's holy, perfect law. And that one moment of selfishness is committed against the majesty and the person of God. And therefore deserves just punishment. Is there no way to escape that well-deserved punishment and to be again received into favor with God? We look at that question this morning from Lord's Day 5. Questions and answer 12, 13, and 14, and 15. And from Nahum, chapter 1, verse 6. Let me read that first. Nahum 1, verse 6. Who can stand before God's indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. Lord's Day 5, question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? And the answer is, God will have His justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction, either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? By no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And the answer is none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? For one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. Theme this morning, deliverance from God's righteous judgment. First, we'll look at this, that we must make full satisfaction. And that we can't do it. And that no other creature can do it for us. Which is why we need a mediator and deliverer. God will have His justice satisfied, and we must make full satisfaction. What is God's justice? It is His righteous demand that man fulfill his law 100% perfectly, or suffer eternal punishment if he doesn't. So God's justice is satisfied through complete fulfillment of the law, or through perfect obedience, or the suffering of his punishment. You remember? There was a wise lawyer coming to Jesus to tempt him. He wanted to know if he can inherit eternal life by keeping the law. Jesus told him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live." Ezekiel 18 verse 4, the Lord says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul that sins, it shall die." So perfect obedience is due from us as we were created in God's image. And suffering punishment is due from us as we have become through sin. And the satisfaction that God's justice requires is the payment on the part of man. So that God's violated justice can be satisfied and man's lostness can be taken away and restored. And that requirement is fundamental to God's law. If God does not require this, he ceases to be God. Isaiah says, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." Isaiah 1 verse 27. And in chapter 5 verse 16 of that same book, "The Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness." And God says to his people in Exodus 23 verse 7, "I will not justify the wicked." God's law, his moral law, the Ten Commandments, bind all human beings, including me and you, either to perfect obedience, which we have learned now is impossible for us to do, or if this law is disobeyed, which it always is, with extreme and eternal punishment. And there's two ways of making satisfaction by punishment. Either by ourselves, so that we as the guilty ones must render perfect satisfaction, or suffer punishment. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's what the law teaches. What the justice of God requires. In the Old Testament, it's put this way. "Cursed is he who conforms not to all the words of this law to do them." Oh, you say, well, yeah, that's Old Testament. That's always so heavy and full of wrath. Well, here is the New Testament. "Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Galatians 3 and verse 10. That's the legal way. Cursed are you if you do not fulfill the law. You must bear the punishment. The second way of making satisfaction for punishment is by another. Somebody else doing it for me. And that method is the gospel revelation. That is the evangelical way by which this can be done. It's permitted that another may take the place of the debtor. Old Testament example of this is Judah offering to take the place of Benjamin in Genesis 44. In the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul writing his letter to Philemon about his slave Onesimus. And he says, "Philemon, if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, will repay it." And you see it so brought out so clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the place of sinners. Mark 10, verse 45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Or, as we heard from Romans 8 last week, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. and has condemned sin in the flesh. That's the gospel. That's the evangelical way of satisfying God's justice. And the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed to this already. So through another, satisfaction can be made. But Moses says to Aaron, go to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make an atonement for yourself and for all the people. And offer the offering of the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And all of this is pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Peter says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Because we need to realize why it is that we can't make full satisfaction ourselves. Why is that? Our second thought. We can't make it ourselves, neither by obedience nor by bearing the punishment. We can't make it by obedience because whatever good we perform, we owe to God already. That's our obligation. What did Jesus say? Even if you have done everything that I've told you to do, you're unprofitable servants. You've simply done your obligations. Unprofitable. And we can't satisfy for past offenses by obeying the law today. That doesn't take away the offense of the past. We can't deserve anything from God's hand. Because everything we do is stained by sin. And so we're daily increasing our debt. Well, don't you think that's true? King Solomon said in 1 Kings 8, verse 46, there is no man who does not sin. And in James 3, verse 2, it says, in many things we offend all. And Paul tells us in Romans 2, verse 5, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Sin continually increases our guilt and God's displeasure. If you think you can deliver yourself, even in part, you are so foolish and so deceived. It's like a person who's stuck in quicksand, trying to pull himself out and pulling on his own shoulders and only sinking in deeper and deeper, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It isn't subject to the law of God. It can't be. What is a man profited, says Jesus, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We can't satisfy God's justice by obedience nor by punishment. Our guilt is infinite and deserves infinite punishment, eternal punishment. And we would never be free from it. Our satisfaction would never be complete. And it would continue imperfect into all eternity. That's why it has to be eternal punishment, extreme punishment. Man has lost all his power in the direction of good. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Isaiah 33, verse 14. But Pastor, I thought you were going to talk about deliverance this morning. I am. This is what we need to be delivered from. Can't speak about deliverance if we don't know what it is we're to be delivered from. The righteous judgment of God. We can't make full satisfaction for ourselves. And no other creature can do it for us. That's the answer to the next question. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Very specifically, a mere creature. Something or someone who was created cannot make satisfaction for us. No. God will not punish the sin that man has committed in any other creature. The soul that sins, it shall die. So only man can satisfy for man because man sinned. A mere creature cannot satisfy God's justice. No creature has such a power that it would be able to withstand infinite punishment. A mere creature would be consumed and reduced to nothing. Our God is a consuming fire. If thou should mark iniquity, O Lord, who can stand? So what kind of creatures are we to think of here? These mere creatures, think about angels. Angels cannot satisfy God's justice for us because they're spiritual beings. And the punishment must be in body and in soul. Animals can't because they don't have a living soul. And they can't voluntarily take the punishment on themselves. And another person can't take it for me because he can't even pay for his own sins, let alone for mine. If I'm in debt for $5 billion, I can't even begin to think about paying your debt of $2 billion, can I? A mere creature can't do it. It can't be of value for our redemption. A mere creature cannot renew me. A mere creature cannot possibly make it so that I do not sin anymore. And all of that is necessary to deliver us from God's righteous judgment. Every creature owes obedience to God for himself. And he hasn't given it. And God will not punish any other creature for the sin of man. In the day you eat thereof, he said in Genesis, you shall surely die. It's repeated often. Soul that sins, it shall die. No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath for himself, let alone for even one other person. The Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who shall stand? Or as Nahum puts it, and as we have read, who can stand before God's indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of God's anger? God's fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Where does that leave us? There is no one here who can satisfy God's righteous judgment. Not by yourself. Not by another creature. We come to the point where we must declare bankruptcy. Spiritual bankruptcy. Because it is impossible for me and for you to pay what we owe to Almighty God. And what do we owe him? Perfect love. Perfect obedience or his wrath poured upon us. Even if we never sinned again, from this very moment on, we cannot pay for past sins. And even if somebody else could pay for us, he couldn't make us righteous. That's what we need to feel that this morning. That we are absolutely helpless here. Undone. Bankrupt. With absolutely no way of repaying our God. And the very thought of bankruptcy goes against the grain of our human nature. Oh, we want to pay. And we think we can. We can't. I know that many times in our society, when a company or people declare bankruptcy, we find that also offensive. And many times it really is just a way to get out of financial responsibility. And we find that so offensive because we want to pay. And here is the one place we cannot pay. Ever. We cannot satisfy God's righteous judgment. And no human being voluntarily declares bankruptcy. But in the life of faith, in a Christian's living experience, you must declare bankruptcy and cast yourself on the mercy, not of a banker, but on the mercy of your judge, your righteous judge. And not as a way of getting out of paying what you owe, but as a heartfelt confession. Oh Lord God, I cannot satisfy thy justice. I deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Lord God, is there no way to escape that punishment? Is there no way to be again received into favor with God? What a blessed place to be. That's a good place to be. To realize, I am undone. I can't do this. Place where you have to call on God and fall onto the mercies of God. The place where you realize that if God Himself doesn't provide a way of escape, if God Himself doesn't give a way of restoration, I am eternally lost. And then indeed there is no hope. And no expectation. This is the place where you confess your misery before God. And your helplessness. And your hopelessness. And your lostness. The place from which there's only one way to turn. And that is upwards. To God Almighty. In Christ Jesus. Reverend Hoffman, was our minister for a few years in BC, used to say, God's word is like a vice grip, like a bench vise. You know what that is? Boys, you know, in woodshop, that vise that's on that workbench, and you squeeze wood tight between it so it can't move. That's what God's word does. That's what the law does. It's squeezing and squeezing and squeezing until we have to cry out. Because we can't pay. And we cry, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Make haste, oh my God, to deliver, I pray. Let's see, 188. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? A mediator is a person who stands between two parties who cannot get together anymore and reconciles and unites them. You hear about mediators in labor disputes often. Union has a strike vote. They can't come to an agreement with the management. So they bring in a mediator. Try to resolve their differences. That's what a mediator is. And a mediator has to be impartial. He can't be favoring one side over the other. But in our case, we need a mediator, but not a human mediator. Galatians 3 verse 20, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Our mediator must be equally close to both parties. And we've already considered that if this mediator is a mere creature, he can't satisfy God's justice, so he can't be a mediator because he can't bear the wrath of God. But think now, if this mediator would be God, that can't be either. Because God didn't sin. Man did. And the mediator must be able to die, and God cannot die. He's eternal. Think about that. It can't be a human being. And it can't be God. So the mediator that we seek for is a person who is God and at the same time man. That's the only way this is going to work. A mediator who is both God and man. A mediator and a deliverer, a mediator like Moses in the Old Testament, and a deliverer like Joshua in the Old Testament. Joshua, whose name is Yeshua, salvation, deliverer. He delivered the people of Israel, brought them into the promised land. Now what we need is a mediator and deliverer who really can come between God and us. One who can and will deliver us. And is there such a being? What kind of a mediator and deliverer must we seek for? Let me ask it a different way. Are you seeking for a mediator and deliverer because of your desperate condition? Well, qualifications of a mediator between God and man, he must be a true man, a real human being with a body and a soul and everything else that pertains to man. He has to be one who is truly human. He has to be just like us. He has to breathe the same air that we breathe. Has to walk here in our shoes. Has to actually live on this earth as a human being. And yet there must be one essential difference between this being and us. This human being has to be perfectly righteous man. A man who himself is without any sin. And keeps God's law perfectly. So he has to be just like us in every single way. And yet, separate from us. He has to be like the person described in Hebrews 7 verse 26. One who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. So a creature just like us, yet without sin. And this mediator and deliverer must be more powerful and higher than all creatures in order to make full satisfaction in the day of judgment with his own righteousness. So someone who is more powerful and higher than all creatures, that would mean that can only be the Creator. The one who made all creatures. That has to be the one that Colossians 1 verse 15 speaks of. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Well, if this being, this mediator, has to be the Creator, that means he must be God. The prophet Hosea says in chapter 1, verse 7, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. That's who it's going to have to be. Our mediator and deliverer must be God and man in one person. Must be truly God with us. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In the New Testament says, which being interpreted is God with us. He has to be man so that he can render perfect obedience and die. And he has to be God so that that obedience and his death have endless power and eternal infinite value. If it were only God, or only man, he could not be the mediator between God and man. God will have his justice satisfied. And we cannot make full satisfaction. We have to, but we can't. And no other creature can do it for us. So we need a mediator and a deliverer. Let me ask you a question that's been asked before. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Remember, the Heidelberg Catechism is a confession of faith. May I ask you earnestly this morning, is it your confession of faith? Is it true for you? My only comfort in life and death is that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. And so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, my faithful Savior also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Is that your confession? Is that your only comfort in life and in death? How many things do you need to know? In order that you, enjoying this comfort, may live and die happily. 3. First, how great my sins and miseries are. And 2, how I may be delivered from my sins and miseries. And 3, how I may show gratitude to God for such deliverance. Oh, you speak about misery. From where do you know your misery? Is it not from the law of God? That law of God that demands perfect love to God and perfect love to my neighbor. And is it not true? You've confessed it. I can't do this because I am prone by nature to hate God and to hate my neighbor. That wasn't God's fault that I can't do this. No, He created me good, perfect, in His image. No, that comes from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And now we are so corrupt that we are completely incapable of doing any good. Not only that, but inclined to all evil unless we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God's justice requires perfect obedience to His will. And God cannot, and He will not, and He must not let such disobedience and rebellion go unpunished. He has to punish it with temporal and eternal punishment, because God is indeed merciful, but He is also just. And now we ask, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? And this is our earnest need to escape this punishment and be again received into God's favor. We can't do it. A mere creature can't satisfy for us. We need a mediator and deliverer who is a God-man. And we know who that is. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Next Lord's Day, we'll answer that question. Who then is that mediator? And the answer will be the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you, that's your heartfelt confession, do you acknowledge that everything that we hear confess about our misery is true for you? Say, yes, Lord, that is all true about me. And yet, my hope and my trust and my expectation is not in me, but it's in the Lord Jesus. And my desire is to see Jesus more clearly as He is revealed in the Holy Word of God. I want to know more and more of this Jesus as my mediator and my deliverer. I want to know more of Him as between God and me, in my place. I want to know more about Him as my deliverer who sets me free. I desire to love Him and to adore Him and to exalt Him. Is that your confession too? See, if you by nature hate God, then where did that desire come from? This desire to love God and to love Jesus and to adore Him. Where did that come from? It is the work of the Holy Spirit, blessing the Word of God for your soul, by which you know that all your hope and your only hope is in Him. And that's a hope that will not make you ashamed. And the reason it will not make you ashamed is because that is a God-given hope. A hope that is founded and directed in one person. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. And you will find that this whole section of man's deliverance will focus on the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, your Lord and Savior and Mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we acknowledge that we are indeed undone. We cannot stand, can never make full satisfaction as required of us. We acknowledge, Lord, that we need a mediator and deliverer who is both God and man. We thank you, O gracious Father in heaven, that we find him in thy Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. He has come to save his people from their sins. That he has come to call sinners to repentance. That he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that dear Savior sends his Holy Spirit even in these days to bless the holy word of God to the hearts of sinners like we are. O Lord God, we acknowledge that the bad news is very bad indeed, because we have made it that way. But we especially acknowledge that the good news, the gospel news, is oh so good and oh so sweet for bankrupt sinners. O Lord God, we pray, draw us mightily through thy word and spirit, draw us irresistibly to this Jesus, that we may rest in him alone and acknowledge that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because God has sent his only begotten Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh, in order that the law might be fulfilled in us. O Lord God, thy grace is all sufficient. Thy grace is so precious in thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Bless us, we pray, further today in our catechism classes. Give diligence to the teachers and the students, also in the sermon discussion time. Lord, we pray that we may learn much from each other, that the Lord Jesus may be exalted, that we as sinners may be humbled. Bring us safely to our homes afterwards and back again this afternoon. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.